Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for October 29th, 2016. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sami, and we're here this week to preview the Paris Masters from France as well as look at the ongoings of the WTA Finals in Singapore. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Hit them up for tickets to the upcoming ATP World Tour Finals in London as well as the Australian Open in January. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host, Parsa. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How's it going?
Going well. Obviously, a lot of tennis to watch. The finals have now been set for the WTA Finals in Singapore. Kerber just beat Radwanska 2-1 in easy fashion. And Sivakova beat out the ever-determined Svetlana Kuznetsova 1-6, 7-6, 6-4 in a grinding match that lasted 2 hours and 27 minutes. So I think it was a good call by me to pick Sivakova to go deep here. Radwanska was my winner, but Kerber took care of her. And I would anticipate at this stage that Kerber is going to cap off her year, as you mentioned before we just jumped on, that it's basically her year. And it's nice to see her playing so well at the majors and now, you know, transcending that to the next biggest event after the Grand Slams. And even though she's had a pretty poor fall, you know, post US Open, she's really picked it up this week and just rolling the field and, you know, in this huge event, and it looks like she's going to take it. And just for everybody, just a quick shout out, reason why we're doing the podcast today instead of tomorrow is obviously the Paris draw is up, but you know, there's also some traveling that we're doing, so it's going to be impossible for us to do the podcast tomorrow and basically till late Monday night. So we wanted to make sure that you guys, everybody out there, has some content going into Paris next week, and with pretty much Singapore wrapped up, you know, we thought that this would be the best time to do it. So, Parsa, what are your thoughts, you know, just overall on the, you know, the week in Singapore and how, you know, it's all developed, the, you know, your preview for the finals tomorrow as we move forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think Singapore has been a tremendous week, to be honest with you. The clips that I've been watching, the crowd is really into it. The tennis is extremely high quality, lots of rallies, lots of back and forth. Just everything you really want to see. You know, I would care for a little bit more sportsmanship. And I'm referring to the Sivakova Kuznetsova, the end of the match. It just kind of, I don't know, Kuznetsova really wasn't even at the net to shake hands and kind of didn't want to see Sivakova, celebrating or anything. But, it's that kind of stuff I hate. But other than that, I think it's been a tremendous week for the women's game, and like you said, Kerber capping off her year would be a tremendous result. But Sivakova's got nothing to lose, and she's gonna let it fly and see what happens and see if she can rush Kerber, and it's gonna be an interesting final. I think you said off air that you think Sivakova's good for a set. I think that'd be amazing, and I expect nothing but drama tomorrow. I think they'll go toe-to-toe. They'll be hitting the ball big and into the corners. And I think Kerber's, believe it or not, like a lot of matchups, I think her ability to redirect shots is going to be the ultimate difference, in that she's going to be able to push Sivakova around for that 2 hour and 25-minute mark or something like that. And I think it's her destiny for her to hold this trophy and cap off an incredible year. Just unbelievable.
For sure. And, you know, Parsa, it's interesting because, you know, I just looked at the schedule of play for tomorrow as they've already posted it on the WTA site. And without knowing their head-to-head record between Kerber and Sivakova, what do you think? They played 8 times. What do you think their head-to-head is?
Probably 4-4, if I had to guess.
100% right. So and that's the, so that's interesting. And so the reason why I'm picking Sibulkova to take a set is because she's not an overpowering player. She's only 5'3", super fast, super consistent, a big fighter. Kerber's obviously a little bit bigger at 5'8" with the lefty prowess. She's number one, full of confidence. But the difference is with Sibulkova is, she's gonna run all day. And Kerber's, plays those angles, and she's got that craftiness about her and stuff like that. So I think Sibulkova is going to be up for that challenge. Now, the interesting thing is in the eight previous meetings, Kerber has actually won the last four, and Sibulkova won the first four. So if you look at it, they haven't played this year. They played in Beijing 2015, Tokyo 14, Fed Cup 14, Sydney 14, and then before that, Toronto, Sydney, Australian Open, French Open. Sibulkova obviously has had some great wins, but she hasn't been able to defeat Angie since 2013 in Toronto, which was 6-7, 6-2, 7-5 in the round of 32. So, it's definitely history, especially with everything that's gone on this year, would suggest without a doubt that Kerber is by far and away the favorite to take this. And I still believe, and I'm sure as you do, that that will hold true. But I think, Sibulkova is going to have, she's going to, throw the kitchen sink, and she's going to pour it all out there. Last match of the year, it's already, I think, a successful week for her, considering that she has some injuries. She come back from injuries, just not too long ago. And so it's going to be fantastic. And I'm really happy for her because I know she works her absolute butt off, when she's training and playing. So nice to see that. And that's pretty much it. Another shout out to Bathnique Maddox-Sands and Safarova for making the finals. They await their finals opponent. So it's a great doubles year for both of them. I know Safarova hasn't had the results that she's wanted in singles, coming back from injury and illness. But I mean, what a tremendous year she's had in doubles with Maddox-Sands, the American. So we wish them well in the finals. And that's pretty much it from the Singapore front. Any closing words there, Parsi, before we jump into the Paris draw for the men's?
No, not at all. It's been a tremendous year, and too bad we didn't get to see Serena. But you see some tremendous parity though out there, and some really good stuff. And so it's great to see, and just awesome stuff. I really enjoyed it actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so jumping now into the Paris Masters 1000 draw in France, the last Masters 1000 of the year. One of those Masters 1000 where, everybody's got one eye on the Maldives Islands. Everybody else is either qualified for, for London the week after, or a lot of guys are like, you know what I mean? Just try to pick up some points here. There's obviously two spots still remaining. Mofy just qualified. He also pulled out of this event, which was in one way disappointing because he's such a fan favorite here in his hometown Masters 1000 event, biggest event for him during the year outside of Roland Garros, which he also didn't play this year because of injury. So from that front, in the best year of his career, he doesn't play the two biggest events that are in his hometown. So that's kind of interesting, right? But you got to say kudos to Monfils. You got to be really happy for him. He's been such a talent growing up. We had him in that group with, Nadal and Gasquet, and those guys have obviously had better careers, especially with Nadal and all those Grand Slams and all that. But Monfils has finally put it together, and we'll see him at the O2 in not too long. And so that's great to see. Still two places up for grabs, Parsa. Before we get into the draw, I'm going to break down what's transpired. So we have Djokovic, Murray, Wawrinka, Raonic, Nishikori, and Monfils qualified. And Nadal will not compete for the rest of this year. So he would have actually qualified, but he's out. Team fell to Troitski in the second round of Vienna. But it looks like he has enough points to get in as the seventh position. Burdick also lost to Basilashvili in the opener in Vienna. He's had a poor run since winning in Shenzhen. So he's the eighth guy to qualify at this stage. Cilic is still alive in Basel this week, so look for him to possibly leapfrog Burdick if he makes the finals today. And then Goffin is still in with an outside chance with 2,690 points. Kyrgios, as we know, is out. Batista Agut would be the next guy, and then Tsonga. So, for me, if I'm a betting man, I'm going with, team to finish in seventh. And then if Cilic can somehow put together some decent results, he would be the eighth guy. But you got to look for Thomas Burdick, the ever consistent Czech to finish off the field at eight. So we'll see how that transpires. Just jumping in quickly into the draw, we have Novak Djokovic coming back after obviously that meltdown that he had in Shanghai. He's the top seed Parsa. He's got a bye, as we know, and he faces either Almagro or Gilles Muller in his first match. Won't be easy, especially if it's Muller to face Dimitrov, who's finally now back in a seeded position as 14th. I know he's not your favorite, but that would probably be Djokovic and Dimitrov in the third round. Cilic is also lurking. He's going to be hungry to solidify a spot. Same with Goffin. So that would be an extremely important third round encounter if it took place between those two. So how do you see that little quarter going, with Djokovic, Dimitrov, Cilic, and Goffin, all nestled in there? Djokovic is obviously, the head of the field, cruising. Is going to be in London, but he's going to have, I think he's got something to prove this week. I mean, I don't think he wants to go out early, even though he knows that he's only got two events left for the year. What are your thoughts on this quarter?
Is he going to feel threatened? I think that's the ultimate question.
Yeah.
Murray's clearly coming after him and
Yes.
not holding back. I mean, so I mean it's I think that this is going to be enough maybe to get a rise out of him and to
Yes.
get him to concentrate and focus. I'm not sure what's happened to Djokovic. He looked ever so dominant, but I guess the wear and tear of being that guy is clearly showing its effect, and it's going to be a super big fight, and we'll see. But I think Djokovic will come out of this somehow. I think it will be a tricky Cilic Goffin third round there, and then once it gets to there, I think the winner of that against Djokovic is going to be very, very hungry, and so we'll see. But I think Djokovic is going to be the one that's able to prevail there.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, you got to take him as the favorite. I actually think that his second round match, potentially against Gilles Muller on that fast court, will be much more difficult than his third round, potentially against Dimitrov. That's my opinion. And I think Cilic, like I said, I think he's playing with house money for the rest of his career. He's always going to be dangerous, especially if he's fresh. Now, if he goes on to win Basel or, make the finals or whatever, he might be a little bit tired, which might open the door for Goffin. I don't think Goffin's going to have enough firepower to get past Djokovic. So definitely I would place Djokovic in the semis. Regardless, I'm placing Djokovic in the semis. That's pretty much my pick. Moving on, we saw Stan yesterday losing to Misha Zverev, the older brother of Alex Zverev, who's already in the Maldives Islands chilling, and he's ended his season rightfully slow. I mean, like, the guy's finished top 20s. Only 19, 20 years old. I think he deserves it, so we can't bag on him too much. So it's gonna be interesting. I mean, you have Ferrer, who's still alive and Vienna defending champion. He benefited from Carl Edmund, who upset him last week. Retired in the first round, so he's gonna be lurking here. He's won this event in the past. Stan, for me, I mean, it's just like what he commented on after he won the US Open. I can't be number one because I'm not consistent enough. We saw that. I mean, he lost to Misha Zverev, who played an outstanding serve and volley match against him. Very refreshing to see yesterday. But altogether, I mean, that's a match that Wawrinka is supposed to win, right? This guy's third in the world, losing to a guy who's in the 70s. So he's got to take that one, but he didn't. And, he marches on here. Nice to see him still competing. And this is going to be, for me, a little bit of a wild card quarter. I have no idea, really, because, Wawrinka is, very flaky in his other than Grand Slam results. Ferrer is pretty much past his prime, but he's had some good results here. Gasquet, he could do something. So it's a lot of stuff to consider. Jack Sock is also here. Misha Zverev is also here as a special exemption because he's still alive in Basel.
And Isner.
Yeah, and Isner, so lots going on. I think this is really, you throw some names in a hat and you pick who you're feeling the most. And if that's the case for me, I'm going with Richard Gasquet to make the semifinals. What do you have?
I'm going. I think the informed guy here is actually Jack Sock.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go for the surprise and the American there advancing into the semis.
Yeah, I mean he can definitely do it. He lost earlier. He lost in the second round of Basel after making the finals in Stockholm. So we'll see how that transpires for him. He's got a big enough game, clearly. I think that one thing that I believe Nick Lester or one of the commentators on Tennis TV had alluded to was he doesn't travel well this time of the year. So now he's in Europe and he's going through Stockholm to Basel now to Paris. So it just depends on how he's physically holding up, in the time zone as well as, this part of the world, being away from the States for this long. So it's going to be interesting to see so how that breaks down. It's going to be his last event, as it is for many guys, except for a couple that we mentioned. So for me, I'm still going to stick with Gasquet. I think he's going to have something to prove in his hometown. He's going to be feeling it, and we'll see how that goes down. Moving now to the bottom half, it's led by Kai Nishikori, who is still alive in Basel this week. Tsonga, who's playing right now against Karlovic down a set in Vienna. So there's those two. Mannarino's Frenchman, who's had a poor year by my regards. I love watching him play. He's probably my favorite player on tour, as many people don't know. Troitski, who's had some decent results, beating Nadal in Shanghai, beating Thiem in Vienna. So he's had some nice wins. So he might be good for a relatively deep run here. We have Cuevas, who doesn't really play well on this type of surface. And then you have Milos Raonic, who's got some question marks because he's lost some matches. He hasn't shown that mental toughness, in my opinion, that he should be showing, at this stage in his career with the ranking that he currently has. Raonic for me is the clear favorite to make the semifinals this week. He should. I'm going to stick with him to do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. So that's basically my analysis. What's yours, Barza?
Yeah, I mean, I think a large part of it for him is he seems to be in the mode of can't wait for the season to be over so I can, relax and retool and get ready for 2017.
Yes.
He doesn't seem to have that fire, that's motivation that we always see, that discipline that we always see from him. And you can just tell in the sloppiness in his matches.
Yes.
That's what's interesting. But this section for me is, I mean, every section in Paris Masters is tricky. I mean, I would like to pick K, but the likelihood of him pulling out probably is high. So I don't know. I definitely don't. I'm not liking Milos, but he's the one that really should. I mean, there's no that there's nothing. So
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
I'll throw in Tsonga there just because I don't think Milos is there either. Maybe Tsonga finds his way through Karlovic. Maybe he's gonna let this match go and prepare for Paris and
Yeah, and he plays amazing in Paris. So that's another
see if he
thing.
can qualify. If he
Yeah, but
wins
he's
this thing,
probably gonna
maybe
have
he
to.
qualifies.
Yeah, he's gonna have to probably win the event though. Like that's the reality of it. So if he if he
But
wins
the other
the
guys may lose early, I mean.
Absolutely, yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is like, just watch every match here basically for the fans out there because anything can happen here. This is one of those like if I was a betting guy, I would not want to be betting on these matches and it's just so much, turmoil and fatigue and so many outside things in these guys' minds that even though it's a Masters 1000, they're like, mentally we have no idea what's going on. So, that's I got Milos and moving on to the fourth and final before we wrap up this week's show, we have Burdick, who's going to be trying to do something. He's definitely, I think, these kinds of courts are suited to him. Batista Agut, another guy with an outside chance. Lucas Pouille, who is going to want to do something. He might do something this week. You know what I mean? It's the last event of the year. He hasn't had the best results the last couple weeks. He's going to maybe really want to turn it on and just throw it all out there. I don't think he has. Well, he's in 16th place. He's at 2,106 points. Even if he wins 1,000 points, still not enough. So he's basically done. Even if he wins Paris, he's not going to qualify. So, that's. Actually, no. So I take that back. I'm looking at the ATP site and it says must win Paris for a chance to qualify. But when I'm looking at it, I don't know how 3,100 points. No, yeah, he might. He might be able to squeeze into the eighth spot, but then at eighth right now we got Dominic Thiem at 3,200 points. So I don't know. I don't think. I have no idea. That's basically my thing, but I don't think he can qualify. That's my opinion. I mean, I'm gonna go against what the ATP is telling me here. I don't think he qualifies, even if he wins the tournament. So there's that, and then we also have Andy Murray in his continued quest, Parsa, to become the number one ranked player in the world. He has, I was talking with Casey Curtis, Milos Raonic's longtime coach, Sam, this week after I was hitting at the club that he works out on Tuesday, and he's like, you know what, man, good for Murray. And we were talking. It's like he's absolutely worked his ass off, and just to become number one in the world, and he's seen this opportunity. Nadal has faded. Federer is not playing. Djokovic is burnt out, and he's like, I'm just gonna keep going. Not worry about that, and try to win as many tournaments, play, not only worry about performing in the Grand Slams. And lo and behold, he's right at the doorsteps right now of becoming the world number one, something I think he deserves after being with these other three Hall of Famers for as well as he is for the large majority of his career. And he's right there. He can taste it, he can smell it, whatever you want to call it, and I think he gets it done. It's gonna be
It's the
tough for him.
storybook for him,
It's
right? I mean,
storybook.
everything for Murray's been this way.
Yeah, and I think it's gonna be tough. I definitely know he's tired, and he's not used to winning this much and playing this much, but he's gonna do it, and we just gotta wait and see when it's gonna happen. So, this is his section. I think if he plays Puig, it's gonna be tough. The Verdasco, I think he gets through him. Puig's gonna be tough. I think he'll beat either Burdick or Batista Agut. I think Lucas Puig is gonna be his toughest match in this quarter. And then maybe he faces Raonic. I think he beats Milos no problem. I think he's figured him out. So if he can get past Lucas Puig, I'm taking Murray to make the final. I for some reason, Parsa, I don't think Djokovic makes the finals here. Now, for me to say that means he's Gasquet is gonna have to beat him. And I'm gonna go with that wild pick there. I'm gonna go with Gasquet Murray in the finals. I'm going with Murray winning this tournament. What do you have?
Going to go with a duel and a showdown of Djokovic Murray, and I think a preview of the ATP World Tour final as well,
It'll be
and the
great to
final
see you.
match. And
Yeah.
I think these two are going to be the highlight of the end of the season, as they have been pretty much through the season. And so
Yes.
I think it's going to begin like it starts. And
Yeah.
Stan had his time, but I think this is about a Djokovic Murray, and I think it's going to be a duel, and I hope it turns into that, because that'd be an awesome storyline to finish the year. Let these guys duke it out on the biggest stages, and let's figure it out, and let's see who wins. And I think Murray is the guy right now, and I'm going to go with something crazy, like, I don't know, five or six in the third in the final.
Yeah, and Parsa, one guy that we didn't mention because he's also not in the Paris draw is Juan Martín Del Potro. And he lost to Nishikori after winning in Stockholm. So, Nishikori was just playing such, baseline hugging tennis and hitting his corners and just playing very methodical. And it was actually a really good match to watch. And now just watching Delpo, and I'm like, is this guy anything other than a top class player? Even with his relatively weak backhand right now, he's still, just an incredible talent, awesome to watch, such a friendly guy, loves the sport, and I just can't wait for him to get back into the top five. Hopefully if he's healthy, continues his health, we pray for that, and he can just get there and just do his damage, because I mean this guy should really be a top five player. I mean he's got everything that is necessary, and he's great for the game in my opinion, and people love watching him play. And it's a shame we won't be seeing him in at the World Tour Finals, because you put him and Nadal and Federer in the mix, wow, then you have such an amazing tournament with the other guys who are already there. So it's just like I can't wait for him to get back there. Hopefully he does it in 2017. I suspect that he will on the trajectory that he currently is. And we'll just see how that transpires. So we have actually, Parsa, I just want to give you some quick results. We have Gilles Muller up 6-4 2-all against Nishikori in the semis. He's about to go up 3-2, so he's looking good to make the finals. And then over in Vienna, we have Karlovic on serve with Tsonga up a set 7-5 and 5-6 30-all. So that's live scoring right now for everybody out there. It's
And
gonna
just to finish, I mean, Del Potro is master class. That's what you get from watching that guy.
Yes.
Listening to him, watching him, everything he does is about heart. And he was like that, and he endeared fans when he first came on the scene. And he continues to do so in the same fashion, despite all his difficulties in his career. You haven't seen him change, Nima. And that's just a class act. I mean, there's nothing else to say about that.
Yeah, and I would love, I'm really looking forward to him on top of everything else to see him play at Wimbledon next year. I think grass is actually a great surface for him. He has such a flat ball. Now that he's got that slice in his repertoire, and you got to think that if he stays healthy, he's going to only gain confidence in his backhand because it is getting better. And I don't care what anybody's saying. He's kind of moving the grip around relatively. It's not as extreme, so he's getting a little bit more snap through. I know he's still hesitant, but he's going to have a couple months. He's not playing Paris this week, so he can get ready for the Davis Cup finals against Croatia. So it's, we're looking forward to that one. That's going to be epic, I think. And so I think on grass he's going to be tough, man. He's serving massive, forehand is huge, and he played that amazing match with Djokovic back in 2013, grinding five setter. And if he had won that, who knows what would have happened? Might have won a tournament. So look out for him on grass next year on top of hard court. Clay, I think, is going to be his worst surface, but again, he's going to figure out some stuff to go deep in a few events. But I think Wimbledon. I'm not going to say he's going to win the tournament, like I called for Stan to win the US this year, but I might say that. Give me until January, and I'll look at that crystal ball and let you know what I think. But I think that Delpo is going to be, he's going to have something to say on tour next year for sure. So Parsa, that's that's what we have for this week. For everybody out there listening, make sure to check us out next week as we'll give you some of our closing thoughts on Singapore, as we're not going to be commenting on the final result from Kerber and Sobolkova. We'll obviously wrap up Paris. Look forward at that time. We'll have the final eight for London, and that's pretty much it. So Parsa, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody out there listening. Make sure to finally hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs for all the upcoming events. And in the meantime, make sure to hit us up on at Parsa Sammy at Tennis Connected, as well as make sure to hit up Tennis Connected on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can finally download this podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much for everybody out there for listening. I'm going to chat with you in about 8 days' time. Be good and enjoy the tennis this week.